You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We have an update for you from our friends in the Florida, Georgia district this morning following the recent hurricanes. We'll chat about that in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us this morning, the Reverend James Rocky, LCMS Florida, Georgia district president. President Rocky, thanks for being our guest today.
Honored to be with you, and appreciate your prayers and concern for the people affected by the hurricanes.
The Florida Georgia District is one of the geographical districts of the LCMS. Tell us, what area does the Florida Georgia District cover, just so we understand, obviously, Florida and Georgia, but a little bit more about that.
Well, and that doesn't mean we always cover completely every state, as we know, like with California and otherwise. Mm-hmm. We cover all of Florida except those counties west of Tallahassee, and then we cover the whole state of Georgia. It's 191 congregations and almost 60 schools and early learning centers across our district.
So let's talk about the two hurricanes that affected the Florida Georgia district quite recently. Can you describe the impact of those hurricanes on the communities and the congregations in the Florida Georgia district?
The reality is, it's quite different than what we've experienced often in the past. Not only back-to-back within 2 weeks of each other, Hurricane Helene and then Hurricane Milton. Often those are a little bit more localized, at least to some extent. And once they come inland, they quickly weaken. That was not the case in particular with Helene that came in there on the west coast of Florida, with a substantial tidal surge, not only in that Big Bend area of North Florida, where it did ultimately come on land, but up and down the whole West Coast. There was a tidal surge all the way from Naples all the way up onto the Panhandle. And so even places like Naples, Florida, that were tremendously impacted, in some areas devastated by Hurricane Ian, they had flooding and damage again in Naples. Fort Myers had many of the same homes and properties and all impacted as they were 2 years ago. But when that storm came in, it went across Florida. It retained much of its strength. God, indeed, that it was in one of our least populated areas. But as it made its way up central Georgia and then into the Carolinas, as we all well know, the devastation was tremendous. We have churches in Valdosta and Augusta where there was substantial damage around them. Praise God, they were very minimally impacted, as well as their workers. But the communities, thousands of trees down. It was nearly a week before Valdosta had power in much of the city. And even still today, many of the roads are not passable, and trees are still covering many of the areas. And then beyond that, Augusta. So we have camps in response because of the breadth of the hurricane. We set up a camp in Tampa that was serving down in that area where the tidal surge. We have more than almost 50 families impacted by the churches and schools of St. Petersburg, whose homes were either under 6 or 8 feet of water, if not totally destroyed substantially. And then we have more than almost 50 of our workers as well along those coastal areas and inland that have been impacted by the damage. And then beyond there, it went into the southeastern district. And as we well know, between Asheville and beyond, the flooding, the bridges, and everything else. So tremendous level of impact has hit much of our district.
Definitely an overwhelming impact for sure. How have congregations of the Florida Georgia District been able to respond to the needs of the communities? You mentioned the district and setting up camps in areas where there's great need. What are other ways that congregations and those camps have been able to serve?
Right. So those are Lutheran Early Response Teams, those camps that's done in partnership with LCMS Disaster Response, and in particular, their director, Dr. Ross Johnson. They've been incredible partners with us, not only this time, but in the past as well. And we certainly praise the Lord for that partnership we share together as we walk together as synod and district and congregations. So those camps, it's really been difficult. Normally it's one camp. The problem is the damage, not only in our district, but into the Southeastern district, even into Mid-South district and parts of Eastern Tennessee, has really made it difficult for us to get the staffing, the volunteers there to sufficiently respond to the number of requests we have for help, not only from congregational members and families from our schools, but from the community as a whole. So we are still in great need of volunteers to help properly staff these camps and have the kind of impact as the hands and presence of Christ that we want to be in these communities. In addition to certainly hands-on by those who are partnering at the emergency response camps is financial response. And the people have been very faithful in the past, so much so that we had the reserves to help us in what we are committing to. In partnership with Synod, we're talking nearly $750,000 of grants to congregations, schools, and workers, as well as monies then to help cover the cost or share the cost of the camps and all that is taking place in order to respond as Christ's people to hurting communities and families. So financial, we still have great need because we know there's still more damage and needs being revealed. In the camps, we still need volunteers. But over all of that, the greatest thing we need is prayers to strengthen those who are being the hands and presence of Christ in those communities. And along with that, to come alongside of people and help them know that there is a loving, merciful God who remains our ever-present help so that he can reveal himself to them. And if they don't know him, they can prayerfully be drawn into that relationship with our loving and saving God. So those are really the kind of bullet items, I guess, of what we could focus on where the need is.
Yeah, the Lutheran early response teams are wonderful at meeting both the needs, the physical needs of just the things that need to happen to support the daily life, but also the spiritual need of prayer. How are the LERT teams in the Florida Georgia district walking alongside neighbors and sharing the love of Christ with people who may not know him?
It is a joy to watch, particularly when you come alongside of a family and you meet a tangible need where in many of these cases, you and I might first think, oh, they have property insurance. It's going to cover all of this. Well, the only coverage for fallen trees is if it falls onto the insured property with a covered loss. And basically it covers removing that tree off of the building or the structure and making it safe. So people are often amazed that we would go out and help to remove a tree that might cost $2,000 or more for one tree that they would be charged by a tree company in the area. And it's when you get to come alongside of them and maybe even work with them in cleaning up their property that it opens doors to not only get to know them, have a relationship, but then to share prayer and to share again that hope and that peace ultimately can only be found in Christ. So they're very good about that, not only the tangible need, but that presence of Christ they bring in deed and in prayer.
And for those of us here in the Midwest thinking removing a tree, well, moving a pine or a maple really isn't that big of a deal. Mm. But let's talk about moving a palm tree that's fallen. Oh. What does that look like, President Rocky?
Oh, no.
That one's not too bad. First of all, you know, there's not a lot of branches and they're meant to bend and work with the wind. So those aren't too bad. The truth is most of the trees we are taking down are large oaks. And then in Georgia, they're pines that I cannot put my arms around half of. They're wow. Huge. And I've seen homes when I've been up there making visits that they literally split a home in half. I mean, they crush the home. They are so large. And so you wonder where your power poles come from. They're southern pine. And And sadly, they can cause tremendous damage along the way. I will acknowledge we are very thankful, though, that God in his mercy interceded. All of this could have been far worse than it is. Particularly, Milton had the potential to be like no other hurricane ever before. The fact that it was slowed down and the winds weakened by that cold front that was a little stronger than the weather forecasters believed, that it came on weaker than it would have and helped to minimize that even where it came in. In some areas of Tampa Bay, we had instead of a tidal surge, we had a reverse. There are areas where the water was all pushed. That doesn't mean there weren't other areas and homes that were flooded and damaged, but God certainly interceded. We have about 10 congregations we are working with damages, three of them with fairly substantial damage. One of them just yesterday reopened its school. Just kind of giving you an idea, it could have been far worse. We had probably somewhere about 120 workers who were impacted with Hurricane Ian 2 years. And this year, as I noted earlier, somewhere around 50 families that we are working with right now to assist, at least with a small grant to help offset deductibles, which in a storm in Florida, it's a percentage of your overall policy. So deductibles can be $8,000, $10,000. Mm-hmm. And many people, you know, just don't have the means to handle that easily. So the way that the body of Christ in our synod has come alongside of them to help to ease that and let them know they're not alone, they're loved, they're valued, that we want to get them back at work because our belief is healthy workers, healthy ministries. And so that's why we kind of, that's first tier. And then we work on facilities and moving into the community.
For our listeners who want to be able to help in the ways that you've mentioned, are there resources available or a place that people can go online in order to assist in this disaster response effort?
Right now, the easiest way to access more information, both regarding the alert camps and for making donations, is through our website, www.flgadistrict.org, flgadistrict.org. And right there on the homepage, you'll see the disaster response lead, and it will guide you to both the alert camps and how to give, whether through our district or through Synod's disaster response as well. Whatever help people can give, we give thanks to them, but most of all to the Lord, knowing that He indeed is faithful and providing.
Our guest today, the Reverend James Rocky, LCMS Florida Georgia District President. President Rocky, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing an update.
My honor, and thank you for what you do and sharing the message of the gospel, but also helping us to respond as the body of Christ to the needs of His people.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.